Parshas Va'era. Va'era is a very long parsha. It's a very hard parsha. Ramayevsky is not here, went downstairs. People who lane the parshas Va'era will tell you it's a very, very long, hard parsha to lane. A lot of things going on. The 7 of the 10 makos appear in this week's parsha. Bar Mitzvah parsha, your grandson? So did he complain about its difficulty?
No, he's going to lay it again now.
Okay, very good. It's a beautiful parasha to know. If you know this parasha, you can differentiate between Vayechazak and Vayechazek, Vayechbad and Vayechbed. You're in good shape. If you can get through the whole parasha and not make any mistakes in those two words, wow, pretty good. Okay, now we learn over here the parasha begins with Vayedaber Elokim Moshe Vayom Elof Ani Hashem, I am Hashem Vo'eiro. El Avraham, El Yitzchak, V'El Yaakov, Bekel Shakoi. It almost sounds like Shmona Esrei. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, I appear to the others with the shame, Kel Shakoi. And Ushmi Hashem, Lo Yinodati Elohim. So Rashi right away comments that there are two different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meir, what in the world are you doing? What in the world? This is very distracting to me. Meir. Okay. We have over here two shemos of Hashem, Shakai and Yudkei Vavkei. Shakai, Rashi tells us, Rashi later on goes on and explains, that Hashem says, Moshe, you're a complainer. You are a complainer. So many times that I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the shame of Kel Shakai, and everything was fine and good. They had no complaints. They didn't argue with me. They didn't tell me, leave me alone. They didn't tell me this and that. I made for them big promises. I promised them the impossible. I told them they're going to possess their children. Their prodigy will possess Eretz Yisrael. And in their lifetimes, they never happened. They never received even one parcel of land. They were gerim v'seshavim, and they had no complaints. You, Moshe, I'm here to do miracles. I'm ready here to deliver on my promises. And you have a lot of complaints. You have a lot of complaints, and therefore Hashem expresses his disappointment in Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we have to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. There are many different things to discuss. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand this. Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew about the Avos. He meikara ma'asavar ulabesoif ma'asavar. There has to be a defense for Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'm just thinking with you out loud just a bit, and there's a very fundamental difference between what Hashem promised the Avos versus what Hashem is working with Moshe. Hashem promised to give something to the Avos. The Avos were living as private people, living in Aram Naharayim. It's true they suffered, they were persecuted, they were individuals, and the whole world was against them. But they basically minded their own business and did their own little thing. And Hashem promised, you're going to receive Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was dealing with a very different situation. He's dealing with people who are suffering. They're suffering. And when they're suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising Moshe Rabbeinu that he will withdraw the people from their suffering. It's an entirely different arena. Avos are living primarily private lives. Now Hashem says, listen, buy a lottery ticket. The day is going to come when you're going to win. When will that happen? Have faith, emuna, the day will come when it will happen. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the field. He's out there in the battlefield. People are dying. People are suffering. Kol habein hayiloid hayore tashri yichu. Vayizak b'nei Yisrael el-elokim mincho avoidah. There is real pain, real tangible problems. And Hashem is promising he's going to extract, he's going to do a mission of an extraction. In fact, when we focus on the Yetzias Mitzrayim, we leave out the fifth Lashon of Geula. The whole Pesach is v'yotzesi, v'yitzalti, v'goalti, v'lokachti. All of these expressions are expressions of extraction. We have an extraction mission. Send in the troops. Go in undercover. Pull out the target. Get them out of danger. We don't focus in the Yom Tov of Pesach of the Hevesi. I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. There's no fifth cup. I know the Maral, the Machol over here, he's the Maral.
I don't do it.
The fifth cup, and the Lubavitch Rebbe was very into the fifth cup. But everyone agrees. Everyone agrees that is not the focus of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, in fact, did not ever enter into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's mission was an extraction. And when you're dealing with an extraction, you're dealing with a very different set of circumstances. There's no time to waste. There's no time to waste and to have hope for the future. I need results now. I can't wait for the future. The Avos, they're living in Eretz Canaan. They live Avram. He started in Aram Naharayim. His father was an idolater. He had a great business. J.C. Penney's idols. Okay, he had chain stores of idols. No, Avraham Avinu was not happy with the business. So go live your own life. Get out of here. Go somewhere else. He Avraham, whatever he did, his own little thing. And Hashem says, Avraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Okay, so Avraham did not complain. Moshe Rabbeinu, trying to defend Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to deliver. I'm going to deliver my promises. I'm going to now bring the people to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu, right now we're not doing that. Right now we're not on the delivery stage yet. Right now we're dealing with an extraction. And an extraction, every moment counts. I need results. Things are not going according to plan. The work, the intensity of the tzareis for the Jewish people is only getting worse and worse and worse. And therefore, I complain. I indeed complain. What over here is going on? This is not the way it's supposed to be. You recruited me to help the people. It's only getting worse and worse. And this is not. And Hashem comes along. Let me read you the words of Rashi. And Hashem says, Neman l'shalim socher, v'yomer ilav ani Hashem, Neman l'shalim socher, toiv l'shalim l'fanai. Let me read a little bit from over here. Rashi a little bit later on, v'era, okay, ushmi Hashem loy noidati lohem, loy hoidati ein ksivkan, elo loy noidati loy nikarti lohem, v'bidas amidah shalish nikosh shmi Hashem, but rather, sharei hiftachtim v'loy kiyamti. Okay, then Rashi goes further, and he says, over here, Rashi reviews it a second time. Rashi further on, Rabbi Seinu Darshu Le'inyin Sholmaila. Omar Loi HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, Chaval Al De'avdin V'loi Mishtakin. Woe to me, those that are lost and not found anymore. Yesh li lehis oinein al misas ha'ovois harbe pa'avos, period. Hashem says, I have to mourn over the loss of the avos, harbe pa'amim nigleis yalein bekel shakai. V'loy amruli, they never said to me, ma shemecha. They never said to me, what is your name? But v'ato amarto, you say to me, ma shemoi, mo imar aleihem. So my question to you is, what's the comparison? What over here is Rashi saying? What's the comparison? The reason why the Avos did not complain to Hashem was because they were not suffering, at least on a large scale. And the promises that Hashem made to them were all about the distant, the future, okay? Moshe Rabbeinu is suffering. He is suffering. He's tormented. There are 600,000 more than there were. There were millions. Only the chamushim olu v'nei shol me'eretz Mitzrayim. People are 4/5 of the Jewish people are dying. They are suffering. The work is getting harder. Moshe is an entirely different situation. This is a whole different world. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu is entitled to complain. So what's the problem? How could you compare the case of the Ovois to the case of Moshe Rabbeinu? They're two different worlds.
The Ovois weren't asked to do something. Moshe was asked to do it.
Exactly. That only proves the point.
Yeah.
The Ovois, they were sitting back. No one was bothering them. And Hashem comes to them. I promise you the world. Okay? You promised me the world, so I have faith. You'll give it to me. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, Moshe, I warned you, I'm putting you on a mission. Go in, there are people, there are millions of people that are suffering, go save them. Moshe goes in there and only gets a lot worse. They add more work, they take away the straw, they throw the babies into the Nile, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and nothing is happening. So of course Moshe is going to complain. It's a whole different ballpark. It's a different game. Avraham and Yaakov were playing soccer. Moshe Rabbeinu was playing baseball. It's a whole different arena. How can you compare one to the other, the situation? What's the question? So I believe Rashi really is coming to answer the question. Rashi says, there's one common denominator. And the common denominator is, Harbe pa'amim neglesi aleihem bekel shaka. You're right, I had a different mission for them. But the point is, v'loy amru li mashemech. They never said to me, who are you? Rashi is not, but the ata you, Moshe Rabbeinu, omarta, you say to me, mashemoy, what's your name? Umo oimer aleihem, what should I tell them your name is? When you read this Rashi in kindergarten, you read the Rashi the way I ask the question. Hashem comes to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he promises them, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. He never delivered on his promise. Delivery. Where's the delivery? Hashem comes to Moshe. Moshe, you're going to take out the Jewish people of Egypt. Moshe, you're going to take out the Jewish people of Egypt. It's not going. We're not going nowhere. We're only going backwards. We ain't going nowhere. And then you stop and think, well, there's a very big difference. When you're suffering, of course you're going to say to Hashem, the plane is not going according to the way it's supposed to be. There's a fundamental difference. Aaron, Yaakov, you know, you gave them a bonus, you promised them something. Then the question is, what exactly is Rashi saying? But if you read Rashi, that's not what Rashi is saying. Rashi, if you want, you can say, that's right, Moshe, you're entitled to criticize me. I gave you a mission, and the mission is a failure. Nothing is working. It's only getting worse and worse and worse. You're going to criticize me? You're entitled. That's right. And the others, the reason why they didn't criticize me is because there's nothing to criticize. There's a land. What, you're going to go one person, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, even Yaakov, 70 souls, is going to possess a massive country? Of course there's nothing to criticize. Nothing happened yet. If you read the Rashi on a very simple level, then you got a problem with this Rashi. But if you read Rashi very carefully, that's not the point. That's not what Rashi's saying. The question is, no one ever challenged who I am. It's not the complaining. It's another prat. Hashem was disturbed by Moshe when Moshe says, Hashem, what is your name? What is your name?
But if you had someone knocks on your door and there's a messenger and you said, who sent you? So he's a messenger, and wouldn't you want to know who am I to tell the people that who's sending you?
That's exactly, let's explain. So what does that mean exactly? Hashem comes to Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and appears to them. He appears to them. He appears to them in the Shem, Shin, Dalid, and the letter Yud. That's how Hashem appears. Hashem makes promises and promises and promises. Fine. But Hashem presented himself to them in a certain way. Every single person in this world has a unique relationship with Hashem. The same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike. Every single person in this world has a unique relationship with Hashem. When Hashem appeared to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Bikel Shaka, forget about the promises. That's not the issue. The Ovois did not try to redefine God.
They have a name for him?
What?
Did they have a name? They called him
Shaka. Well, Hashem appeared, Hashem, Vo'eiro, that's the opening pasuk in the sixth parasha. The opening pasuk is, Vo'eiro, El Avraham, El Yitzchak, V'El Yaakov, Bekel Shakoi. The way I presented myself to the Ovois is, Bekel Shakai. What does that mean exactly? These are mystical concepts, but Hashem presented himself to them in a certain way. Hashem presented himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in a different way. In a different way, how? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem, by the burning bush, Ani Hashem. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hineini. Let's go back to Parashas Shemos. Okay, I think I'm trying to tell you is an important idea. I have to say it the right way. In Parashas Shemos, Hashem appears to Moshe. Vayhi vayomim harabim, ki Moshe yiroye. Here it is. Vayar malach Hashem, vayiro malach Hashem ilo bilabasa yishim techasne, vayar v'inei asne boyoish, v'asne ninuko. Vayomim Moshe, asuna v'yareh, samar angelo zem adulo yivar hasne, vayar Hashem kisoleros. Okay. And here it is. Pause looking for. Vayomer Onoichi Elokei Avicha. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Vayaser Moshe Ponov ki yorei mehabit el ho Elokim. Vayomer Hashem. Okay, so Hashem appears to him. I don't know if this is really the good pasuk. Rashi in Parashas Va'era says a little bit more clear. Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'kel Shakai Yishmi Hashem loy noidati lohem. Rashi emphasizes that Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu with Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, we're not going into Kabbalah. I don't know any of this, the differences, the different shemos. Rashi explains a little bit that Shakai means Sha'omar le'olam odai, promises. The word Yud Kei Vav Kei represents emes. I am nemon l'shalim sochar. That's not the point of one. That's not relevant. That's not the point we want to make. The point is, Hashem appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the way he wanted to define his relationship. The others never tried to recreate God. Everyone knows God exists. Everyone has a unique relationship. The relationship that you have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the relationship that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have with him. Don't try to be who you're not. Let's give an example. You have, let's say, a head of state, you have a president of the United States. So he has officers, he has people come in. You just can't walk into the Oval Office. You have to have permission. But the president's wife can walk in whenever she wants. The president's wife shows up in the White House. She lives in the White House. And she says, I have to talk to my husband. Get out of the way. She says to the Secret Service, get out of the way. You get out of the way. I have to go into the Oval Office. Guess what happens? They get out of the way. And they let her go in. Ah, there's no appointment. You need to get an appointment. Who can get an appointment? I don't care who he's talking to right now. I have to tell him something. I want to go talk to him. Get out of the way. And she opens the door and she walks right in. And nothing happens to her. That's the way, because she has a different relationship. A child, different relationship.
That's more the midrashic way of looking at it. Always the son of the king.
The son of the king, the daughter of the king, the friend of the king. Every single person you in your own life has with you a different relationship. You make a couple of phone calls. Let's say you want to make a phone call every Rosh Hashanah, you want to go wish some people a good yar. So within 10 minutes, you call up 10 people, and it takes a lot more than 10 minutes, right? And every single person, you have a whole different sprach, a whole different language, a whole different attitude. Some people, you like to make them believe you're depressed. Some people, you're very happy, you're trying to cheer them up. Some people, you're very polite. Some people, you're shaking your pants, because I'm afraid if I say the wrong thing, he's not going to give me my bonus. Right? Every single person. It's the same thing with Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam presents himself as Hashem is infinite. It's a very delicate word. Hashem is infinite. And Hashem has a lot of creatures. And Hashem defines the relationship with every single person. And sometimes people look around and they don't like the relationship that they have with Hashem. They don't like it. They want a different relationship. So they try to redefine the relationship, recreate the relationship, just alter the relationship. That's not meant for them. The way I have a relationship with Hashem, I see there's another person that has a different relationship. I'm jealous of him. I want to be like that person. Or my lot in life with Hashem, I'm not happy. I want to do something different. the complaint of Hashem, you look in Rashi very carefully, is not a complaint of the Avos, you made promises. And to the Avos, you did not fulfill your promises. And look, they never said boo. Wow, they're such great people. Me, Moshe, every set, Hashem made promises. You promised to take the people out of Egypt, to stop the suffering, to shut it down, to shut down the suffering of the Jewish people, and you did not fulfill your promises. So now I'm a complainer. Oh, Moshe, you're a bad boy. The Avos, they didn't complain, and you complain. Well, you know, there's a fundamental difference. The Avos were not suffering, we're not being waterboarded. And I'm suffering. That's why I'm complaining. You try to bring suffering upon them, we'll see what happens if they will switch. Then we'll see if they'll complain. This is a fundamental question. What is Rashi over here saying? How could you compare apples and oranges? Avos and Yaakov, they were promised gifts. There's nothing to complain about. Moshe Rabbeinu, there's what to complain about. So just because Moshe complains, you're going to go hold him accountable? Is that how you learn Shalom the Pasuk? What kind of comparison is there? That's not what Rashi is saying. Read Rashi very carefully. Rashi is saying, Hashem says, I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. This was the relationship. It was this Shem Hashem, which captures different principles. And you look at Rashi, whatever that means. To you, I presented myself with a different relationship. But you, Moshe, you're trying to redefine the relationship. That you don't do. Don't redefine God. If you see in religion, we'll talk about the Goyim. Talk about the Goyim. They have a God, they have a religion, they have beliefs. In Christianity, whatever all these things are, and every generation, when it's just not convenient, when the laws of the religion are just not convenient for the times, okay, so let's redefine the religion. We'll redefine the religion. We'll make adaptations. That's not a religion. This is Hashem's complaint. Hashem over here is saying, Moshe, you're treading on very dangerous waters. The way I define myself, I vo'era el Abraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov b'kel Shakai. They never challenge. They never try to redefine the relationship. You, I appear to be Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you say to me, "What's your name?" What do you mean, "What's my name?" You know what my name is. In other words, when you say to me, "What's your name?" You're saying, Hashem, I don't want it to be like this. I don't want the relationship to be such. I want it to be like this. Eke Asher, Eke, no, Eke, this, that, leave it the way it is. I set the rules, this is the way it is, don't be happy where you are. Don't try, like I say in Yiddish, to knich, to a hecher a fenster. Is that how you say it in Yiddish? Don't try to go to a higher level, a different level. Be satisfied with the bracha that Hashem has given you. Yeah, Bechol?
Okay. The way I'm looking at this a little differently is you mentioned that Hashem made promises to the Avos. And now we're at a point where Moshe sees things as getting extremely difficult. And now he's challenging Hashem to deliver, which is different than the God that promised previously. Now, it's no longer, all right, you promised them, but now it's time to deliver. That's a demand that he's making, and that is, and that Hashem obviously is upset with that demand.
Hey, that's what I'm trying to reject. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's too simplistic. Hashem...
Yeah, that's how I am.
Yeah, but if that is what it is, then there's no complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu for arguing. Moshe comes to Hashem again, it's not fair, you told me you're going to send me, and look, the Paro took away the straw, did this, did that. So
okay, alright.
What's so terrible?
It's just...
You're not entitled to complain, you give me a job, and things get worse and worse and worse. So I'm entitled to complain.
Alright.
So why then does Rashi say I'm upset with you, Moshe Rabbeinu?
It's an idea that's so abstract that it's...
What? To abstract the idea?
I think so. For me, anyway.
Okay, I apologize. Okay, let me try. Let me just give you a little bit of a twist. A little bit of a twist on this part, and that is as follows. Let's go back to the classic. Rav Chol is more sazed with the classic approach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made promises to the others and to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu with the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which Rashi says Emes. Emes means I'm going to deliver. The others, I made promises to Moshe. I promised delivery, a delivery system. You're going to receive reward. So what is a higher level? What obviously is a higher level? The higher level appears to be delivery, MS. Making promises is one thing. You have emunah, you're going to make promises. And then the ultimate revelation of Kodesh Baruch Hu is when you actually deliver. So the others were ma'aminim, emunah, and Moshe is MS. Let's go and divide them up into two different terms. The term of emunah and the term of MS. Others were ma'aminim. Hashem made them promises. Hashem did not deliver, but they had faith in Hashem that Hashem will one day deliver. And they died, they left the stage. Moshe Rabbeinu is living in a generation where the Shrok is now coming to deliver the goods. That's a higher level, a higher form of revelation. Now, if that is truly the case, look at the Nusach HaTzila. Every single day we begin davening with the Shemona Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Akel, Hagadol, Gibar. The opening of Shemoneh Esrei, we mention Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why? It makes a lot of sense. When you daven to Hashem, what are you davening for? You're davening Yamamunah. You do not have in your possession the goods. And you come to Hashem and you ask Hashem, please give us. Please make for us promise. Please give us refuah, give us das, give us parnasa, the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Right now I have nothing, but I have faith that you can and you will deliver in the future. So that's the others, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. In the timeline of history, what comes first? The promises, and then come the delivery. Yet, isn't it interesting that right before we say the Shemoneh Esrei, we conclude with Shema, and after we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeisi Eschem, the Eretz Yisrael, Liyosbachem Elokeim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that's the end of the pasuk. And then we say MS, B'mida Amita Shali. And then when you go into the Yatzeh, V'noch, and the Kayim, Ezra, Savon, Seinu, you say the word MS, I think, 8 times. MS. Let me get a sitter. We say the word MS multiple times, leading up to the Shemoneh Esrei. So are we going backwards? We're going backwards. In this week's parashah, we learn Hashem appears to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Bekel Shaka. I made them promises, and they did not know that I can deliver. They never witnessed in their lifetime the delivery system. You, I appear to with the name of Yukhi Bafki, which Rashi says, which means the Mida Amitishali, the Mida of truth, that I deliver on my promises. Shemoneh Esrei begins Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Oh, Emunah. But you know what? You know what we say before we say Shemoneh Esrei? We have a whole section devoted to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers. Let me turn to the Shemoneh Esrei. We have, after we finish an MS, we go in number one, the Yatzeh, the Nochem, the Kayim, the Yosha. These are all 16 expressions of truth. And then we say MS, Elokei Olam Alokeinu, Tzvikam. And then we say it again, the word numerous times, MS. And then we go further and we say it again a couple of more times. We dwell heavily upon the Mida of Enes. I think we say a total of 8 times. I don't remember exactly, I count very precisely. What is going on? Shouldn't it be just the opposite? Shouldn't we say this section of MS, the Yatzeh Nachon, with the 8 mentions of MS in this section after we finish Shemoneh Esrei? Just like the timeline of Jewish history, first it's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Hashem makes promises. He makes promises that he's going to deliver. And then Hashem is truthful to his word. So we should start off the Shemoneh Esrei with Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then when we finish the Shemoneh Esrei, we should now, we're now in a later stage, like Moshe came way after the others, and now we should say Hashem is Emes. We have, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hashem is going to answer our tefillos. Emes, 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 Emes. And yet in the Nusach HaTefillah, it's just the opposite. We start off with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shmi Hashem, and then we go backwards, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The entire Shemoneh Esrei is built on the foundation of Emuna. First comes Emuna, then comes Emes. Not Emuna, not Emes and Emuna. Okay, the order is reversed. So what is the answer? The answer is no, you're only learning half part of the cycle. There's a cycle. You know what the cycle is? It's a three-part cycle. First is Emuna. Then comes Emes. And then comes Emuna again. There's a three-part cycle in life. And the truth is, the whole beginning of the davening, even Shema Yisrael. What is Shema Yisrael? Hashem, who is only Elokeinu now, for us, for the Jewish people, we have Emuna, Hashem Echad. And the same that you go through the Medayik, and many of the parts of the davening, the whole beginning of the davening is all about the others. Okay, that's, I have a little focus on the Shema. The truth is, there are three parts to the cycle. The part is you start off with Emuna, and then Hashem delivers. The goal of the delivery is to gain inspiration and strength in order to go through another cycle of Emuna. The end of the process is Emuna. It's Emuna, Emes, and Emuna. The end of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole story of Yitzias Mitzrayim was just a revelation of the Midah Amitis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us today, for the rest of history of the entire world, to live with Emuna. The Avos lived in the time of Emuna. There was no delivery on Hashem's promises in their days. Then there was the revelation of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the Egyptians were punished severely, Mida Keneged Mida. There was revelations and there was reward, v'chul v'chul. There was a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas of Emes, the Shmi Hashem. And now, where are we now? After they came into Eretz Yisrael, there were no open miracles anymore. Things went, they are here and there, but relatively speaking, the rest of Jewish history until the times of Mashiach is now a new stage of Emuna. And with the coming of Mashiach, that's going to be the Emes. And that will only trigger, whatever this means in the next world, another level of Emuna. There is a process, and the process has three components. There is Emuna, Emes, and Emuna. In this week's parasha, we see how the pasuk spells out two of these steps. There is, Hashem says to Moshe, I have a what to complain, because I appeared to the others with Emuna, the Midah to teach them Emuna. I'm coming to you with the Midah of Emes. I'm going to deliver on my promises. So you would think that in this davening that we say every single day, we should follow that pattern. We should follow this first level called Emuna, like the others came way before Moshe. It's a process, a growth process. And then comes Emes. And yet when you look at the Nusach HaTfilah, right before you dive into Shemoneh Esrei, we pound away. Emes, 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 Emes. We have in fact 16 words after Kriya Shema describing Emes. And then we say the word Emes another couple of times until we get to the Shemoneh Esrei. And then the Shemoneh Esrei, Emuna, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The order is wrong. It should be reversed. And the answer is no. You're missing the whole point. It's a cycle. There is Emuna, there is Emes, and after you have Emes, you see the Amida Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's only there to trigger another level of new, fresh Emuna. Tachlis HaYidia SheNeda, SheLoy Neda. What does Yidia mean? Knowledge, understanding, seeing how all the dots connect. The more you know, the goal is the more you know, the less you know. And what does it mean, the less you know? I mean, is to have Emuna. If you don't know, what are you gonna, how are you gonna survive? emuna. Tachlis, the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim. Tachlis hayidia, the goal of knowledge. What is knowledge? Science. What is science? Emes. Emes. Okay, the real emes. Emes. Tachlis hayidia sheneda. Now, what do I get with all that? Shemoneda. You see the amida amida shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're sold. I'm in. I'm sold. And now when I go to the next level, I have a new appreciation of emunah. The beginning of davening, culminating with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is the ultimate expression of is of emunah. And when the first thing you do when you finish the Kriya Shema, actually focus on Yitzias and Shrine, which Yitzias and Shrine was a revelation of Emes. Emes! Yatsiv! Nochoin! The Kayom! Emes, 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 Emes. And now what? And now what? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. Let's start all over again. Let's repeat this all. Now that I've gone through this cycle, I have an appreciation. I have inspiration for a new cycle of emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Quick. We spent some time this week learning about the tzardeya, the frogs. The whole study of the tzardeim, the fascinating topic. Really, there's probably for all the malachos, it's probably the most, I think, on the tzardeim. What are the tzardeim? Are they frogs? Are they crocodiles? And Michal, what is the difference between an alligator and a crocodile? What is the difference?
I never got that close.
Okay, a crocodile. Okay, then there are other creatures. There are many different opinions exactly what was the tzardeim. A lot of mystical things. There was only one tzardeya. They hit it, and it swarmed.
Alligator is in America. Crocodile is in the Middle East.
Ichus. Some yuchus.
It's not identical, but related. Yeah.
Okay, fine, whatever they are. So some know that tzardeya is a crocodile, some say it's frog, some say it doesn't exist anymore. It's some type of mystical creature which disappeared. And whatever it is, okay, this is a lot of very fascinating about tzardeya. One thing we know that Chazal tells about the tzardeya, Hashem gave instructions they should go into the ovens. Okay, they should go into the oven. And go into the oven? Go into the oven is a suicide. Hashem sent them on a suicide mission. Who's going to go? Some of the tzardim are going to go into Paro's bed. Some are going to the feeding into the bowl, the kneading trough. Some are going to go into here, but some of them have to go into the ovens when they're lit, when they're all heated up, and that means they're going
to.
Do-
to go into the ovens.
Yeah, uvitanu recha. It says uvitanu recha. The alu. I don't know the possible heart. Our chief expert on Tanakh is not here right now. Okay, the olu b'veisecho v'tanurecho v'misharosecho v'chadar. It's all the different. It says in the pasuk they were commanded to go into the ovens. So not everyone has to go. Who wants to volunteer to go on a suicide mission? And indeed, there were frogs or crocodiles, whatever you want to call these creatures, that went into the ovens. There are different opinions. And the Chazal, they go to town on this. And they have drush. I don't know. I'm not sure all the different drush. And the Chazal tell us that we can learn. The Jewish people have what to learn about the sugya of dying al kiddush Hashem from the tzardeim. Okay, we're not going to go into all the details, but this is something which is well known. Now let me. Okay, that's. I want to keep that thought in mind for a moment and put it aside. Let's go to another element of the tzardeim. Moshe Rabbeinu, Paro had enough. He can't deal with this anymore. He calls Moshe. Moshe, get rid of the frogs. So Moshe says something very, very unusual that we have never heard before and doesn't appear by any other Malka. A very elaborate response. Hispo'er olai. Glorify yourself over me. Wow, what a nusach. What an expression. You wanted to get rid of the frog? Good. Hispo'er olai. Limosai. When do you want them to go away? Tell me. I give you your decision. You want to go now? Tomorrow? You want to test me? You think I know, I look into the stars when the frogs are supposed to come, they're supposed to leave? No, I'll let you decide. I will pray whatever you want. And that's so Paro took advantage. Paro thought that it would go away right now. So, lemachar, tomorrow. Okay, gezuntahet, tomorrow. Moshe was in the spalil, and exactly when Pharaoh wanted it to go away, it went away. Very interesting. The word hispoer is a very unusual expression. The word hispoer comes from the word pe'er, glory. In Chazal, that word carries a lot of weight. That word pe'er refers to tefillin. Pe'erucha chovush olecha. Hashem said to Yechezkel, very famous pasuk, and this pasuk is used in the halacha extensively to learn the halachas of tefillin, especially regarding avelus. Hashem told Yechezkel, I want you to get married. I want you to have children. And then your wife's going to die. And when she dies, you're going to be an ovel. And ordinarily, an ovel is not allowed to wear tefillin. An onin is not allowed to wear tefillin. But you're going to be the exception. Pe'erecha, your tefillin, chavush alecha. It should be firmly attached. And this will be a marshal for the Jewish people. Okay, we can't go into the whole story right now. But the word pe'er in rabbinic literature, as Rabbi Rakev would say, refers to the tefillin. Hispo'er olai, glorify yourself. Now, I'm sure everyone here knows about this thing called Perek Shira. Perek Shira is a big question. Who wrote Perek Shira? It became very popular. Not today, it's not, you know, today a little bit fad already, went away a little bit. But it was, some say it was written by Shlomo HaMelech, some say it was written by other people. It basically ascribes a pasuk or an expression of praise to every major element of this world. The sun has a pasuk, the moon, stars, all the animals, the different forms of vegetation, every little thing, it's in the back of the Siddur. I don't know if in the old, the new articles here, they put in the Siddur, and everyone knows, I don't have to go tell you, know this. Every single expression that is recited by one of these creatures is a pasuk. There's only one exception, the frog. The tsardea in Perek Shira, yeah, it has a unique pasuk. You know what its pasuk is? It's not a pasuk. It's Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vaed. That's the expression. Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso. It's an expression. I mean, why? Okay, now that's a big topic. Why did it select that pasuk? That's another topic which I don't remember. The whole fascinating topic of discussion. It stands out in Perek Shira because it's the only creature that does not recite a pasuk, but instead says something which is a nusach atzila. It's something they say in Shemayim. We have a tradition in the angels. They say this pasuk. Okay, whatever it is. Then, now, is it not interesting that when a person puts on his pe'er, his tefillin, you make a bracha, everyone who puts on tefillin, everyone knows. Baruch atah Hashem, Mokeh Melech Olam Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvah Yisrael V'tzvanu Al Mitzvahs Tefillin, on the tefillah Shel Rosh. And then what do you do? What do you say? Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. Now, I know the simple reason why you say those words is because it should not, just in case, it is a bracha levatala, because you already made a bracha of lehoniach tefillin, and you really maybe only need to make one bracha for both the shalyad and the shalrosh. That's not the only reason why you say Baruch Shem. You say Baruch Shem because when you put on the tefillin shalrosh, when you put on your pe'er, your glory, Per means glory, and the tefillin represent the rohu called Ame Ha'aretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha. When the world sees that the name of Hashem is carried by the Jewish people, the Yadu Mimeka, they're afraid of you, and there is a revelation in this world of Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. It's not just because it's you said Hashem's name in vain. Chas v'shalom, that's not the pshat. It's the tefillin represents something very lofty, very glorious. of the revelation of Hashem in this world, how Hashem rests His divine presence on the Jewish people, and now because of Ribui and Kivoyt Shemayim, Baruch Shem Kivoyt Malchuso Li'olam Voed. Part 3. Paro says, okay, Moshe, pray. Pray that it should go away, not now, L'mochar, tomorrow. And when it stopped, you know, it was a revelation. Wow. Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, Moshe was outsmarted Paro. Moshe prayed today and it went away tomorrow. It went away at the exact time. That was a revelation of Hashem's power. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's speaking b'shem Hashem. And it was in the future. Tomorrow. L'mochor. Yesh mochor achar zman. Hashem yimloich le'olam voed. Hashem melech, Hashem moloch. Hashem is melech now. Hashem in the past. Hashem yimloich in the future. The future. So look what we've done in essence. This kedusha de sidra. We learned last night. We learned the shiur on tzila Thursday night. Kedusha de sidra. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Hashem tzedakas b'loy chorus kivodai. Number two, part two. Baruch Shein Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Voed. Part three. Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. You do this three times a day. Some even more. Some they say this during the other day, or they add this even the other times. The first time is Birchus Kriya Shema. We imitate the Malachim. The second time we do this is during Kedusha, Chazaras Hashatz. And the third time is Asher Yuvol Letzion, Kedusha Desidra. Kedusha is just three parts. A, B, C. Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Baruch Hashem Kavod. Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. What do we find in the Tzvardeya? All three. The Tzvardeim, they gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. That's called Kiddush. Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Okay, it's not called Kiddush Hashem for nothing. When a person dies in honor of Hashem, the term that we describe this martyrism is dying al kiddush Hashem. The tzvardeim is the makor for many of the facets, insights into kiddush Hashem, because they went al kiddush Hashem. Hashem says uvitanurecha. Who's going to go first? Like Kriyas Yamsuf, who's going to jump into the Yam first? Who's going to go into the fire first? They went in. They went in. They listened to Hashem's command. Kiddush Hashem, Kodosh, Kodosh. Hispo'er olai. The word pe'er. Paro, come. Try to outsmart me. Let us now reveal Hashem's pe'er. Let us, Moshe's conversation, Hispo'er. Let's reveal the Kvoid Shemayim. Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchuso Li'olam Voed. When? L'mochar. Yesh mochar achazman. Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. This was the first time, Rabbi Yisrael. The story of the Tzardim was the first time Klal Yisrael experienced Kedusha de Sidra. Kedusha de Sidra was a revelation, was expressed in the Makkah of the Tzardim. The whole afternoon of the Tzardim, okay, I don't know what I'm saying now, but the Makkah of the Tzardim, even though it's the second Makkah, it's really the first, it's very significant, it's a very central Makkah to all the Makkahs. And one of the reasons it's given is in the Haftarah, Paro, he calls himself the Tanin HaGadol. Paro, he's the Tzardeya. Okay, in the Haftarah, unless I'm mixing this up. Look at how Haftarah begins. Koyamar Hashem Elohim, Bekabsiya Space Shalom in Oamim, Asher Nafoytsushom, Vinikdash Tivam. Okay, Vinikdash Tivam. This is again, Kodosh Kodosh. Yeshuva le'enei ha'goyim. I will be sanctified le'enei ha'goyim. Pe'er. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikro olecha v'yodu mimeka. V'yoshvu al admasam. And of course, when will this happen? All this is going to happen in the future. V'yodu ki ani Hashem elokeichem. Everything here is written in the future tense. This will all happen. La'asalava. The whole Haftorah dwells upon the theme of Kedusha de Sidra. There's going to be Kedusha, and through the Kedusha there's going to be a revelation of Hashem through us, which is the Pe'er of the Tefillin, V'ro Kol Ami Haaretz. And when? The whole thing over here is in the future. And then the next parak elaborates, Bashana Har Siba Asir, Rishnam Slochodesh, Ho Yad Vashem Elai Leimar. Ben Adam, Simponecha Al Paro Melech Mishan, V'hi Navi Olof, V'hi Al Mishan Kula. Daber Yomarta, Koy Ma'ashem Elokim, V'hi Nini Olecha Paro Melech Mishan, Hatanim Hagodol, Horoveitz Besoch Ye Oirav. You're the big Tzvardeya. That's really what it's saying. Okay,
you think you're the big guy. I'll show you.
You're the Tzvardeya Paro. Paro, the Mak of Tzvardeya, was the Mak of the takedown. The big takedown of the big Balgaiva.
The big crocodile.
Paro himself called himself the crocodile. The Tanin Hagodol, the big sea serpent who lives.
That was an Avodah Zarah.
Well, he made himself in the Avodah Zarah.
I'm saying, but the crocodile was part of the worship.
Because the crocodile lives in the Yaor, in the Nile, and the Egyptians worship the Nile.
Right.
And this crocodile has many different names and many different forms and subdivisions, the frog, the crocodile, the this, the that, the tanin. They're all part of the same chevron. They're all part of the swamp.
Yeah.
Drain the swamp.
Right, he thought it was.
They're all part of the swamp.
He thought it was the big croc without a K, and it turns out it was the big croc with the K.
I don't understand that. You have to explain it to me later. I don't know what that means. But Gnosati Chachin Bil Choyecha V'yidbakti D'gas Yerecha B'kaske Soisecha. Everything over here is about the crocodile, which basically reveals the first two makos. The first mako was dam. What was dam? The kanamir. Everyone needs water. The whole world needs water. The second mako, the tzardeya, was laser focused on the leadership. The leadership of Egypt. The tanin hagodol. Chazal said there was only one crocodile. But also one tzardeya.
To begin with.
And when they hit it, it mutated. Into many
there
politicians.
Was, the mothership.
The mothership. The first maka was the maka of the common man. The common man. Everyone needs a drink of water. Everyone needs water. The second maka was focus. Rashi says the Farish. It's going to go into your bed. You started this whole problem. It's going to, all the punishment is going to start with you. The Tanin HaGodol. And the Tanin HaGodol, and through you, you coming to recognize this will be the revelation of Kodosh, 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 Baruch Shem, Kavod Malchuso, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Moed. There's much more elaboration about the Tzardeya than there is of any other Makkah. Look at the number of Psukim. It's just enormous detail with a warning and end. It takes up a whole column. Doesn't do that, but any other Makkah, every other Makkah, 1, 2, 3, bang, 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 finished. This Makkah, somehow it sets the tone. So why is it the second Makkah? What about the Dam? Okay, I don't know. I don't know why it's the second, but it definitely...
There are other reasons.
Definitely, it sets the tone of the entire purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, for Klal Yishol, for the Umos HaOlam. Certainly, the Haftarah captures this theme. That's the entire theme of the Haftarah, as it begins with Kedusha, with the revelation to the entire world that Hashem rests upon us in the future tense. That's Mamish Kedusha de Sidra, and all of this is directed and is going to come through the Tanin HaGodol that lives in the Yaor, which hangs out there, which obviously is a close cousin to the Tzifardeya. We don't even know what the Tzifardeya is. It's Tzipor, Deya, all these, we have so many memory of Chazal, a mysterious creature, but it certainly is associated with the power. Okay. Now, we have time for another quick, I'm going to end over one thing very quick, which just a ha'ara, okay, just this quick ha'ara. Back in the Chumash Bereishis, I always found this very interesting. And here you see the Feirush of the Pasuk in the sixth parasha, and you notice much better than back in Parashas. Back in Parashas, was it Vayigash? Then Vayigash. What happened in Parashas Vayigash? Finally, Yosef meets, he reveals himself to his brothers. They all come down to Egypt. And he says to his brothers, listen, I got to go to Paro. I got to present some of you in front of him. He has to see the family. I don't have to take all of you. I'm going to take some of you. Who am I going to take? Whatever. Rashi has a whole discussion. The weakest, the strongest, the whole mindset, the weakest. The strongest, the whole long Rashi there who he took. Okay. And then he tells his brothers, listen, when Paro asks you, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Don't tell them that you trade Bitcoins. Tell them what you do for a living is you're shepherds. You're shepherds. Why? Because in Egypt, sheep are oivdei avodah zarah. They're idols.
Avodah zarah.
And therefore they don't like the shepherds. They don't like the shepherds. The shepherds who deal with the sheep, they put them in a different place. They don't integrate them into society. So therefore, since you deal with the Avodah Zarah, he's not going to want you to be part of society, to mingle with everyone else. And that way he'll put you in a ghetto in Goshen. It'll be good for you. You won't assimilate. You won't come to fall into the trap of all of the problems that we have here in Egypt. Now, I don't understand something. In the Jewish world, Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, what do we serve? Hashem. Who are the servants of Hashem? Talmidei Chachamim, Rashi Yeshiva, Rabbanim, Gedolei Yisrael. Today, it's a Maila. By us, it's a Maila. Someone who is a servant of Hashem, someone who is a servant of the Torah, Adarab. You want him to be your next door neighbor. You want him to, he's Megan. Talmidei Chachamim, they protect. Be'idna, Shaloi Be'idna. It's a Kavod Gadol. If you live in a healthy Jewish society, I don't know if it's everywhere, but if you live in a healthy Jewish Orthodox society, it is the biggest maila, kavod, to have Talmidei Chachamim living amongst you. You have on your block Rashiva, you have on your block Talmidei Chachamim, and they're learning, they're doing mitzvahs. What greater schus can you possibly have? What you want on your block, a goy? What do you block? People who sit and watch movies the whole night. That's a zuchus for you. It changes the whole avira to have Talmidei Chachamim. Egypt is such a bunch of fakers. They have a god. They worship the god. This sheep. And anyone that is associated with the sheep is disgusting. Why is it disgusting? If this is your god, Adarabba, the people that associate with the sheep are superstars. They're rock stars. You want them to live on your block. No. No, the answer is because the Egyptians know it's all a lie. It's all a lie. The sheep is a nothing. It's a to'ev, it's an abomination. And anyone that's foolish enough to devote his life to this curse is also an abomination, and we don't want anything to do with these people. It's unbelievable. They're not even embarrassed to say this in Parashas Vayigash. Look what it says. Miksas Echov, he takes some of his brothers, and he presents them in front of Vayom Paro El Echov Ma Masech, and Vayom El Paro Roet Soyna Vodecha. Gama nachnu gama voseinu. Vayomer el paralog words banuki in miralatan shalavadecha. Vayomer paral el Yosef, lem avicha vecha boilecha, eretz mishalavadecha, he made the words. Hoyeshev zavicha vecha, Yeshu eretz goshen. Oh! You associate with the big lie? It's a big lie. And it's such a. Anyone that is fools into the disgusting people, go sit in a ghetto. I don't want to know from you people. It worked. But he didn't say it. He didn't have the chutzpah to say it's a big lie. He just sheep. Why'd he tell them to Adarabba? You worship, they deal with sheep gevaldik. You worship sheep. Come be my next door neighbor. Paro knew it's just a big lie. holding is a big lie, and they need this lie in order to operate in society. Look at this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, in Parashas Va'era, it says explicitly, Paro says to them, I can't find the post in a second, okay, what do you want to do? You want to offer a sacrifice to Hashem? Okay, go offer the sacrifice in the backyard, in the street. We'll close down the streets you can offer. Moshe's, Ki Toyavas Mitzrayim, the abomination of Egypt. He says it befeirush. What people were thinking, Moshe says, what you think in your mind, Moshe says to Paro, I can't sacrifice your God in the street. We look at a sheep as a sacrifice. It's your Avodah Zarah. Your Avodah Zarah. So we're going to go kill your Avodah Zarah? There'll be riots in the street. We have to leave. We have to go into the Midbar where no one sees us sacrifice these animals. So Moshe, when we sacrifice the Tzoyin, we can't... Moshe calls the sheep the Toyavas Mitzrayim. Wow. The Toyavas Mitzrayim. It's the God of Egypt. It's not the abomination of Egypt. Yes, it is. It's an abomination. They know it also. They took this animal, they made it into a god, they bowed down to it. But you know what the truth is? It's an abomination. And they know it. And Moshe said it explicitly. And the proof is, go back to Parashas Vayigash, where he tells his brothers, just say that you're shepherds. And they'll say, we won't have nothing to do with you. What are you talking about? This is the clergy. You're the ones who bring all the blessing to the world. By us, Baruch Hashem, Lahavdil, Elif Alfei Avdalis, having a Talmud Chacham live in your midst is the biggest bracha you can possibly want. And by them, having a member of the clergy live in your midst, it means you have sickos living amongst you. Don't keep your children far away from them. And Paro didn't say Bepem Mole. He just says, okay, go to Geretz Goshen. And here, Moshe, when he says to Paro, we're not going to slaughter these animals in front of your face, because how could we slaughter the Toyavas Mitzrayim? V'lo Yiskelunu, they'll kill us. What? How could you call their Avodah Zarah an abomination? How can you do that? How can you say that? How can you say those words? It's the God of Egypt, not the abomination of Egypt. No, 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 no. The God of Egypt is the abomination of Egypt. And you know it. It's a big lie. It's a big lie. Go back to Parashas. The proof is, haunt you. You, Paro, or your predecessor, threw us out. You want nothing to do with us. The fact that you wanted to have nothing to do with us, because we service the service, the sheep, the Avodah Zarah, goes to show what you really think of the Avodah Zarah. I'm just spitting back at you your own words. You, your predecessor, the hierarchy of this country, when they heard that we service the sheep, they said, get out of here, we don't want to know from you. Obviously, the sheep is an abomination. That's what you want to know. So now, when you're telling us to go and do the sacrifice here, I'm going to call it the way it is, the way you yourself defined it. The chickens came home to roost. Okay, Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for coming and listening. All the best, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Have a good